Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. And if you're like me, you go out shopping, and everything that's in view is with red hearts, pink flowers like you would not believe. Why? Because it's Valentine's Day next week. And today we're going to be talking about a subject that's directly related to that very special holiday, and that is love, L-O-V-E. And my guest today, Fadi Hottendorf, decided she was going to take on the challenge of asking a question, what is love, and perspectives on love. She put it down in black and white, and that's what we're going to be chatting about today. Hello, Fadi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Well, it's a delight. There has been, and I think there will continue to be until the end of time, always a commentary of one type or another on love. Now, you are a very, very well-educated lady. You have a degree as a biomedical engineer.
Yes.
You studied in Germany. You've worked in Austria. And currently, you're involved with the medical industry in Arizona. Fadi, why in the world did you decide you wanted to write a book about this? It's so far removed from what professionally you're involved with. What was it that made you say, I've got to sit down and write this book? Why?
I have that question for a long time, since high school. I have been asking myself, what is love? And that is based partially on my experiences and partially on experiences that other people have gone through. And sometimes I will see people holding hands, kissing, or divorcing and being excited about being married. And I will keep asking myself again and again, what is love? And it wasn't really until recently when I got pregnant that I decided to write about that topic.
Now, there's a gazillion and one expressions of love. And, of course, in the movies, it's all always the amorous thing. And so often that evaporates in about 30 seconds. But really, there is, I've always said love is like a rainbow. It has a lot of shades, a lot of colors to it. It's always moving. It's always changing.
Yes.
But you really got into talking about the nitty-gritty, the difference between physical attraction and the real essence of love. Because love really just, you can't put it in a box.
Yes.
So with you, when you were asking the question of yourself,
yes,
what was the one, the first thing that just hit you with an aha when you were asking yourself this question, what is love? Did you go around and interview a bunch of people?
I wish I did that. Maybe I should do that. No, I haven't. I haven't done that yet. It is just, you know, you fell in love with someone and all of a sudden that person isn't really faithful to you. And so I thought maybe by the time the person is telling you, oh, I love you, just to kind of keep the relationship moving, he's involved with another person and keep telling the same person, I love you. So why? Why is there a need of keep using I love you only to keep someone in your life when indeed you are not really with that person? And also the other thing that hit me was people will really be in love. They really love each other so much. They will spend their time. They live together. When they were together, everything was fine. But then they get married, and then shortly after the marriage, that love evaporates. So why? How could that happen? So those are questions that really has been in my mind, and I have been really asking and wondering, Why? How could that happen? What could horribly happen so fast that all of a sudden they don't love each other anymore? And yet there are people who will be together for many years, more than 30 years, and they are still together. What is the ingredient of in that love? What makes them stay together for so long? It is the same love, I believe. And there are those who will be together for maybe more than 20 years, and all of a sudden they believe it is time to kind of call it quit because they believe if they have another person, if they live with another person, their life will be better. And yet it just turns out it's not really better. So these are all different aspects of love that I keep hearing around me or my friends have gone through or myself has gone through. So I keep asking, what is really love? What is that? Why do we keep saying, oh, I love you, when you are not really serious about it? You don't really, you just say it for the sake of saying it. You are not, you are just using the person by saying, oh, I love you, when indeed all you want is just something specific from that person. And your goal will be to be with someone else. And to that, even if you meet that person, you keep saying, oh, I love you. And all of a sudden, after a short period of time, you realize, oh, that's not really the person of my life. I prefer to move on and find someone else. And you keep moving, you keep singing the same song, I love you. And then you find someone, and then, oh, you are not happy with that person. You believe another person will make you happier, which is really not always true.
Well, I think that has happened to many, many people, and there are so many aspects of personality, circumstances, conditions. The character of the individual, I think, really has a great deal to do with the sincerity, and I agree with you that so many times people will say, oh, I love you, and I don't know very many women, unless they're extremely young, that haven't had this experience and then find out that later there wasn't really the love at all. They either wanted to have you marry them because they wanted a housekeeper and a maid or a surrogate mother, or
exactly.
Then there are women that have done the same thing. They have said, I love you, to someone because they wanted financial security, not because they really cared for them. And I think the real integrity of love is something that takes time. I don't know that there are but just maybe a handful of people that could sincerely say with all their heart, from the first moment I saw that person, I knew that was the person for me. But I think when it comes to living real life, the reality of dirty diapers, dirty floors, laundry, people getting sick, throwing up, all of these things come in, and they are anything but romantic.
Yes.
And you're looking at this thing, I signed up for this? You have got to be kidding.
That is so true, yes.
Oh, it is really something. And you know what? I think, too, Fadi, and you bring this out in your book, that every young person, if they're not fortunate enough to have parents or members of family that sincerely love each other, they will look to movies or look to romance novels or something that's going to give them an idea of what it's supposed to be. And
mm-hmm.
it often can be very disillusioning for you as a person.
Yes. Yes, because yes, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, for you as a person, you have gotten married, and
yes,
you've got a beautiful baby, and
yes,
you're obviously very committed to this. How did you know that you were in love with your husband?
how I knew that? Well, the moment we met, he was just someone really very simple, easygoing. And plus, we were pretty much studying in the same room at the library, pretty much. He was studying learning for an exam that I already took, and I was learning for an exam that he already took, and because we were from the same field, biomedical engineering. So he was really an easygoing person, and that was something that was interesting to me. So that's how we started, and we have been together since then.
For you, what was the pivotal image, or what was the pivotal feeling for you that made you aware that this was a person that you would seriously consider spending your life with?
Honesty is one point, and being sincere with life and trying to be someone better is one thing. And the way he will be behaving with his friends and with other people, that was interesting to me. And the way he was just carrying his life, you know, that was interesting to me.
There's an old saying that often has been passed around, and I can remember someone telling me this many, many years ago, and I can hear the sounds of your baby in the background. It was, watch a man and how he treats his mother, and you're going to find out that that's how he's going to treat you. And I thought, well, that's a very interesting observation. Life showed me that's not necessarily the case, but how people treat others does make a difference.
It does. It does a lot. It does a lot. How you treat someone, it does make a really big difference. And I have seen how he has been with his friends. When he was a student, how he was living his life. As students, we both used to work just to manage our living, and I knew how he was working hard, trying to combine both. And he has a family. Even though he has a family, he wasn't really that dependent on his family. He was trying to do something for himself. And not just sit around and depend on his family.
And there's so many different things when it comes to making a commitment with a person. Sometimes people of different cultures may find that they're going to end up having some very, very deep challenges. And the rosy illusion of the romance many times will cover that up. And I'm thinking of a particular couple right at this moment, young couple. The woman is in her 30s. Her husband's in his middle 30s. She's in her early 30s. And he is of a Chinese background.
Uh-huh.
And they met in the United States, and that was wonderful. And she's American through and through. She loves the Chinese culture. In fact, she's worked in that environment. However, the family's culture was not very happy with an American woman coming into the family.
Uh-huh.
But still, they ended up getting married, but she has some very unique challenges there because the husband's loyalty in the culture that he was raised in is to his family, first, even before his wife. So this is something that's going to be challenging to the two of them.
Yes.
As long as they choose to be in that environment. If they were in the United States, it'd be a little bit different. But I've known these things to occur between different cultural environments and different social environments. The same thing can happen.
Yes. It's going to be a challenge for her. But then, at the end of the day, it will be really up to them to be happy. It is their happiness. It is their life. If they love each other, they can. It's true. He has his parents. She has her parents. They cannot run away from their parents. But the two have to be happy, and not sit around and say, "Okay, I have to satisfy my parents first, and then satisfy myself." Maybe in certain things, yes. But when it comes to love, I think you need to be happy with yourself, happy with your partner, and then try to make your case to your parents, and they need to understand that indeed you are a grown up and you have your life to live, and not just live your life according to their requirements all the time in all aspects of life. It is a big challenge. The same could apply to me, because my husband is German. I'm not German. But my case is probably different because we graduated from the same field. So I was in Berlin, he was in Berlin studying the same stuff. The language was easier because I had to learn German before studying in Germany. So the language barrier wasn't there. So I don't know for the case of the Chinese if the woman was able to speak Chinese or not, because that could be another confrontation she could face if they were to live in China, for example.
Yes, and those are some very good points. You talk about virtual love, and that just made me chuckle because that's a computer program special. And lots of times people, women especially, but men have done the same thing too.
Yes.
There is that virtual love. And one of the things that you said you can take it with you everywhere you want at no cost. There won't be any conflict with anyone. It's just you and your virtual love. You won't have any problems because there aren't there. This is just total fantasy. And I think a lot of people get stuck in that kind of a mental patterning. And it's very hard sometimes if you have a fantasy about what you think someone should be.
Yes.
Human beings, I don't care who we are, we all have failings. I mean, none of us are perfect. So if you're expecting that perfection, I'm sorry. It's not going to work.
Yeah. It's difficult to expect like 100% perfection. It really, I would say, probably doesn't exist because nobody is really 100% perfect. You can be perfect in one specific point, but not in all type of views or characters and everything else. It is just a fantasy. It is just your world. You can satisfy yourself with that virtual world. However, I don't even know exactly if you will always be happy with that, because that virtual love is something very simple. Yes, you carry it everywhere you go. You are in conflict with no one at all, except maybe yourself. However, if you were to find that person in real life, would you be happy with that person? Maybe. If you find that person with all those physical specifications, is your life going to be better because you are with that person? I don't think so, because we are human beings and we change over time. And if the person changes, or if, God forbid, an accident happened to the person and the person loses one leg or one arm, would you still be happy with the person? Because that person isn't the same as the person used to be in your virtual world. And then, you happen to find that person in real life. Would you still be happy if the person lost one leg or one arm? I don't think so. You will keep thinking, okay, I want something else. I want this type of specification and that one. And maybe that's probably just the outside. But the inside could be something different as well. Outside, you have all the specification that you want, your ABC, all your list is 100% according to what you want. But the inside can be different. You might want to have a child with that person, and all of a sudden, it's not happening. What will you do next? Are you going to say, okay, oh, no, I don't want that. I prefer to go back to my virtual world and have someone who will have everything that I want. It is a challenge. It is a challenge. And yet it is a way to run away from a problem, or maybe at the same time create more problems to yourself. Because imagine if you have a partner and you have been thinking about that virtual person with all your need and all those specifications, and all you are doing, you are satisfying yourself, but at the same time, you are bringing a certain disruption. You will be growing apart from your partner, and that will be bringing problems or aggravating the situation that you are in. It is a nice word, but at the same time, you just need to be a little bit careful with that, because you can be carried with that virtual world and virtual fantasy and all of that.
I had to chuckle because there is one section in your book I really liked, and I think any Any man or woman with any experience might enjoy it, too. It says, maybe, and I'm quoting exactly from your book, maybe we should have brain analysis before engaging with each other, before believing in true love. If we could read the mind, maybe we could predict what's coming down the pipeline as the relationship moves forward. Maybe there should be some kind of love insurance card, LIC, that reports what type of parents we grew up with so our lovers can predict who we might become. Something we could use as a reference. Hey, folks, have you, well, I mean, we have insurance for everything. Love insurance? My goodness. I thought, now that's a twist. I like that. Wouldn't that be cool? You go out on a date and say, do you have a love insurance card? Oh, my goodness.
We have a card for pretty much everything.
Yes, that's true, but a love insurance card. I'm love sorry, but my policy pays me so much if you flunk.
Love insurance card would be just one more card in your wallet, right? It is not heavy. You just carry it. And, you know, before you engage into someone, you can double check what kind of person that is. Because obviously, the physical attraction is one thing. But if you have that card, at least if everything, of course, on that card is correct, then you know in advance what kind of person you are engaging with.
Maybe. They could lie on that card, too.
Well, if they lie, there could be a fine, but pretty much it has to be correct because it really has to be correct. Just like your insurance card, how often would you go and lie on your car insurance? Not that much. Otherwise, once they realize you lie, there can be a fine, or you have to correct that lie. The same could be for love insurance card. If you know the type of parents you have or grandparents you have, and going down the road and the type of family you grow in. You can have a very good picture of what kind of person you are engaging with.
You know what, Fadi? I'll tell you what. With all of these romance connections, these different organizations that on the Internet people can go to try to find their mate, I have to tell you, as a counselor, I have interacted with so many individuals that say this is totally disgusting because they even put up phony pictures. And I just have to chuckle. I think human nature is such that you're always going to have those people, and sometimes people can come from the darkest, ugliest circumstances, and they are just beautiful human beings.
Yes.
Somebody else could come from the finest pedigree, I guess that's what you'd want to call it, that could be available, and they're skunks. So I don't know that insurance card would ever really work, Fadi.
I was trying to figure out, because there are so many things that goes on. You really don't know. You meet someone, but then you don't know how truthful the character or that person that you have is. The characters, you have no idea about the characters, you have no idea about his personal life or family life. It could help a little bit. The same is true with DNA, when the DNA tells you, okay, if your parents or your medical record, if they said, if there is like a breast cancer in your family, the likelihood that you can have breast cancer is there. So at least you can prevent and work on it. If there is even a way to prevent that, you can prevent that. There are certain diseases that you could probably prevent. At least you are aware that, okay, that is what is coming down my road. There is no guarantee even with that love insurance card. There is really no guarantee, but at least you have a picture or an idea of the person in front of you, that's all. But, you know, even with the Internet, online dating, you sit in front of your computer, do you really know about the person you are chatting online with? You don't know. The person can give you all certain idea of who he is, certain characters or interests, but in real life, the person might not even be single at all. Or the person could be completely someone different. Even if the person emails you a picture, it doesn't mean that picture is really the person you are chatting with. So there's always that conflict that we face.
Well, I like what you say in this one section of the book. You have a number of stories about different people and different situations, different scenarios, different perspectives throughout the book. But I really like what you said towards the end of the book. That said, the decision of who you love should always be in your hands. It's easier to have fun when you love someone, a true love of your choice. But how fun is it in circumstances when everything is dictated, when you have no room for freedom? And no one should close themselves off to any race, class, or ethnicity. Love should be welcomed wherever it comes from, and you should commit yourself to nurturing it. Well, if you get hurt, you can recover and take the plunge again. Fadi, I know we're just about out of time. What is love? Perspectives on love. Where can people find out more about you? What's your website?
My website is fadihattendorf.com. And yes, the book can be found on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. The paperback and ebook is available.
All right. That's Fadi Hattendorf. That's F like Frank, A D like Donna I, H like Henry, A T T E N, D like Donna O R, F like Frank.com. Well, it's a fascinating subject, Fadi. I don't think anybody ever has all of the answers. Your insurance card proposal really was an interesting one to make, as I thought that was cute. I really think that you've given a number of perspectives and attitudes, and your stories are quite good about different people that you have written about and different thoughts regarding this. And for those of you that enjoy Valentine's Day, I want you to know that this might be something you might want to add to your library. And if you're single and you're out there looking, wondering if your true love could be around the corner, well, that can happen for you. Fadi Hattendorf has been my guest today. Her book, again, is What is Love? Perspectives on Love. Go to her website, fadihattendorf.com, and you'll be able to find out more information about her, the book, and also where you'll be able to get it. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Tickets now on sale for the 2012 Conscious Life Expo, February 10th through the 13th at the LAX Hilton. Bringing together an eclectic community of speakers, panelists, exhibitors, artists, and visionaries for a four-day gathering of collective consciousness featuring over 150 workshops, special events, including TV British psychic Lisa Williams and visionary scientist and author Greg Braden, as well as the film festival, live music, Programa Latino, and three exhibit halls packed with healthy products and services. For ticket information, www.consciouslifeexpo.com.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to another half hour of the Donna Sebo Show. And I want you to know, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to do it. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into. That's 888-627-6008. Well, I have to share something with you. It barely made me chuckle. There is a local grocery store that I stopped in to pick up some items because I'm preparing for my trip to the Conscious Life Expo. I'm going to be flying to Los Angeles tomorrow. So I had to pick up a couple of items, and there's this one lady, Jackie, that's inside the store. And here is this phenomenal display for Valentine's Day. I mean, this thing is huge. Potted plants, flowers, balloons. I mean, it is just absolutely amazingly beautiful. And obviously, she'd been working on this for quite a while, and I've chit-chatted with Jackie through the years, and we just have a real nice rapport, and I complimented her on this beautiful arrangement of all of these flowers and the balloons and the roses. I mean, it was just incredible, all of these things that were arranged, the candy, et cetera. And she said, boy, you know, Donna, this is the one holiday in the year I hate. I said, what? This is Valentine's Day coming up. She said, every year I have the same thing. And she said, it has to be all put together in a very short period of time. She said, I just am exhausted, and it's every single day I have to get something together because this is a very, very big holiday at the store. And she said, there's so many details to take care of. She said, nope, I'm ready for Valentine's to be gone. And I had to chuckle. I didn't have a chance to ask her what she felt about Christmas. But she said it was just so intense. And apparently it's just a very short window. Of course, Christmas, they start putting stuff up out in the middle of July. So what's the big deal? But seriously, Valentine's Day, I just laughed. Because here are cookies. Here are all kinds of things. And just like I said at the beginning of the show, just everything about Valentine's is right there. Of course, it's next week, and it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of fun things going on. But, you know, I stopped at a craft store yesterday. They were almost sold out of everything regarding Valentine's Day. I was just amazed. So it really is a very, very big holiday. And, of course, there's a little bit of history with it, and there's a lot of fun stuff, and I'll be sharing some of that stuff with you as we get closer to Valentine's Day. Now, again, if you want to give me a buzz, the telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. Here in Washington, we have started a process of eliminating some of the dams that we have in the state. Now, in the year 2010, there were 60 dams through the United States that were dismantled. Now, here in the state of Washington, the biggest aspect to dismantling some of these small dams that have been in place, my goodness, for I don't know how many years, is because of salmon and the way that salmon migration occurs. And there's also some other components, but there is going to be a big project here in the state of Washington. And the National Park Service has started it. There's a 210-foot and 108-foot dam on the Elwha River here in our Olympic National Park. Now, for almost 100 years, these dams have prevented salmon from swimming upstream to spawn. Now, some people might say, well, why don't we just blast the dams? Why don't we just take some dynamite and just blow them to smithereens and everything be hunky-dory? Well, we have to remember, one, we have become far more populated in our area than it was in the past. But, two, this is what occurred. 78 million cubic yards of water would be going downstream immediately. So you would instantaneously have a massive, massive flood. And, of course, it affects your ecosystem. So what they're going to do, with these two dams, they're going to break down the structures over a three-year period, and the water is going to be released into a reservoir that is going to make it more manageable. It will not harm the wildlife. And they're really watching it very, very closely. Now, part of the process that they're also doing with this, they are replanting the new riverbanks, water banks. That they've got of 300,000 plants that will have grown to a certain size that they're actually going to be putting out in the new area. And then they've got 5,000 pounds of seed where they're really going to try to bring back a lot of the environment that has, you know, been underwater for so long. You've got silt. You've got all kinds of stuff that has developed. Figure it, for 100 years, there's all kinds of the problems, you know, that you've got with that. Now they have two spillways, and they're going to build an earthen barrier so they can dismantle it and things will stay pretty dry. Then they're going to remove the dirt barrier and form a new one to keep the other spillway dry as they break that one down. Now, they found, they're guesstimating on this, actually, I think they have a pretty good chance of being accurate with it, 24 million cubic yards. That's a hard number to wrap your mind around. 24 million cubic yards of sediment have built up behind these dams, and if they release the water too fast, it actually could cause the water treatment systems that have been built to be damaged. They wouldn't be able to operate because there'd be so much that their systems would have to process. So it's going to travel downstream instead, and they say it's going to help rebuild the spawning process of the salmon. And they figure eventually, it, with the process that they're working with, because it's over a three-year period, that the beaches are going to be okay, and that the water flow going out into the ocean will finally be back to what it used to be. Now, at the current time, the Elwha River supports about 3,000 fish. But once those dams are gone, they're guesstimating about 400,000 fish. And one of the reasons that this has been so significant is that some of the Indian tribes have really been pushing for it because salmon was so abundant for generations. And when the dams were built, well, they've got the challenges that came with that. Of course, the fish were not spawning. Now, what's happened is that the Native Americans are also building, you know, actually, I think they've already built, a new fish hatchery near the mouth of the river. So it's fascinating stuff. Lots of times, things that have been done, things that have been built, at the time they were built, we have to remember the way people were thinking. Here in the state of Washington, there was severe, severe flooding of farmland. And rivers were just wild and crazy, and the damage was so bad that Roosevelt said, we've got to be able to correct this. These people just don't have a way to farm and keep things in balance the way they need to be, so we'll build a dam. And it also supplied energy. Dams provided a lot of good things. But now that we have advanced and we have learned about ecosystems and we're continuing to learn, we realize that there was a natural process that was destroyed. If not destroyed, it was hampered severely. So now we are trying to make some changes. And it really does make a difference. It's fascinating stuff, and I just came across this information and thought I would share it with you. By the way, tomorrow I am going to be down in California, but my guest is going to be Daphna Slolem. So we'll be doing a show live from the Conscious Life Expo. And her book is called The First Key, How to Remove Subconscious Sabotage. It's said that our subconscious governs about 90% of everything that we do. And whether that's driving a car or just our habits of everyday life, sometimes we have habits or patterns that we want to change. How can we do it? Kinesiology is what we're going to be talking about, and I think you'll find what she has to say quite interesting. It is going to be a show that has some surprising twists that maybe you would not have expected. So she's going to be on, and then on Friday, we're going to be doing a Best of Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. And by the way, if you're in Los Angeles, I'm going to be in booth 407 at the Conscious Life Expo, and I'm talking on Friday afternoon about mind dynamics. So we'll be having that to look forward to. What is the oldest toy in the world? Do you have a clue about that? The oldest toy? Well, apparently, there is a curator at the Egyptian art at the Brooklyn Museum that says there are Neolithic balls made from mud, but there's no way that you can determine if these were toys for children. However, Edward Bleiberg said there is a 4,000-year-old stone doll head in the ruins of a village on an Italian island of Pantelleria. That's right. Children have always had dolls of some kind. Well, this one had a stone head to it. And this was discovered in 2004. Now, it wasn't found in a ceremonial ground, and that makes it different than things that they've found in the past. That most ancient human figures, sometimes they bury things with children, but this was something that was buried with miniature kitchenware of the time. That's right, 4,000 years ago. And the stone doll's head had curly hair. They have found that there have been many wooden dolls in Egyptian tombs that date back just as far, but those figures were found engraved with reproductive symbols, and they thought they were more for educational purposes, not for playing. Now, historically, there's a lot of things we still don't know, but they suspect that games might be older than dolls. Well, that's a tough one to call. In ancient Egypt, Senet, S-E-N-E-T, was a board game that looked like backgammon. Apparently, in wall drawings from about 2686 B.C., they were playing that game. So they don't know that the children played it, but they do know that there was something like the game of jacks that they played with, throwing rocks in the air and picking up pieces of clay before they fell back to earth. Some things don't change. It's just the application or implement, the style of the implement that changes. Maybe we played with balls and jacks when we were a kid, and it's a great game for developing dexterity. I do think that there have always been dolls of some type. Little girls have always wanted to imitate their moms, hold babies, so I'm sure maybe they were made out of papyrus rushes, who knows, but I'm sure they were around there somewhere. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for just a minute. When we come back, well, I've got a few suggestions to help you save some money and a little bit about history, and who knows what else I'm going to be able to share with you. You'll have to stay tuned to find out. This is Donna Sebo. I'll be right back.
Tickets now on sale for the 2012 Conscious Life Expo, February 10th through the 13th at the LAX Hilton. Bringing together an eclectic community of speakers, panelists, exhibitors, artists, and visionaries for a four-day gathering of collective consciousness featuring over 150 workshops, special events, including TV British psychic Lisa Williams and visionary scientist and author Greg Braden, as well as the film festival, live music, Programa Latino, and three exhibit halls packed with healthy products and services. For ticket information, www.consciouslifeexpo.com.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30, and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I told you, oh, by the way, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. I told you I had a little bit of history. Well, this is sort of spooky history. It's about a woman by the name of Burton Agnes. Now, we're going to step back in time a little bit, because there was a family with the last name of Griffin in 1598 that decided to build a new home on their lands in Yorkshire. Now, the three Griffin daughters were extremely interested in this project, and one of the daughters' name was Anne. And she paid a lot of attention to the construction of the Burton Agnes Hall that was being built by her family from start to finish. And by the time they finished it, and of course in the 1500s, it took a while to build a house. They didn't have to get it up as fast as we get ours up. But she just absolutely loved this house. Well, one night, Anne was walking home on a road, and she was attacked by a gang of thieves. They struck her on the head, and if she hadn't been rescued by the villagers that happened to be nearby that heard her screaming, she probably would have died immediately. Now, they brought her home to her family, but she wasn't in good shape, and she was dying. And Anne made a very unique request of her sisters. She said, I want you to keep a part of me in the Burton Agnes Hall forever. That's how much she loved this house. She said, I want you to keep a part of me after I die in the hall forever. She then decided, shortly before she passed away, that they were to take her skull and put it inside the walls of the house that she had helped to build. Well, she died about 5 days after she had been attacked, and her sisters just ignored the request. Instead, they buried her in one piece in the church graveyard. Now, this is what happened. Soon after she was buried, the Griffin family would hear screams, blood-curdling screams in the Burton Agnes Hall. No one could figure out what was going on. Of course, when they'd hear these screams, they'd go into the hall, they'd check everything, nothing. Well, it really got to be really spooky, because it happened just once, but consistently. And the sisters, remembering what Anne had requested of them, they said, okay, we think this is Anne getting our attention, and we didn't do what she asked us to do. So they couldn't figure out anything else to do. So the Griffin family decided they were going to obey Anne's wishes. They dug up the body, and when the coffin was opened, they were stunned because it had been in the ground for a while. The body had not decayed, but the head had fallen off and lost every bit of hair and tissue, leaving only a bare skull. Yep. This is history. This is recorded. It's a fact. So this is what they did. They took that skull home. No more screams. They put it inside the wall. No more screams. Now, everything was fine. Many years go by. The Griffin family, many of the members die. Finally, it has to be sold. A family, they found out about the skull. They were told the history, but you know what? They decided they were going to remove the skull. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what happened. The screams started up again. So the people that had bought the house took the skull, put it back where it was before. They stopped. The house was sold again. The new owner moved in, and the skull... When they found out the story, they went and took the skull and put it inside a section of the wall, covered it all up, and never told anybody where it was. No one has found the skull since. The screams have never returned. Now, what they do see periodically is Anne's ghost, and it's during the month of October. During the month of October, that was the month in which she was killed. And they say they realize that it's Anne's ghost because it matches the portrait that still hangs in the house, in this Griffin house. It's there even today. Don't you just love spooky stories? I'll tell you, fact is stranger than fiction. And science may think it's got all the answers. Not really. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Well, if you're like so many people, you are always interested in saving money. Well, here are some tips on when to buy things. And there are some people that really have made a science out of this, and they're very effective with it. I've known of some women that have got it so fine-tuned that they actually save their money until they can buy what they want during the time of the year when it's going to be most cost-effective. So you can use coupons and all kinds of things, but if you want to do computers, electronics, and cameras, check on Mondays. Mondays are really, really, really good days, especially online. And then for TVs, check out Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. They really want to have sales all week long. It's not unlike restaurants. So many times restaurants will offer specials, dependent on how traffic flows for them. On Mondays through Wednesday, they, dependent on the type of restaurant, may not offer it on a weekend because people might be there on a weekend. But during the quiet times, the earlier times of the week, they may do that. So it's these patterns. And if you become aware of these patterns, you can save a lot of money. If you want to buy books on sale, Saturday is really going to be the day for you to buy the books. And major appliances, Sunday. This really surprised me. That appliance stores know that weekends are when home improvement projects are on many people's minds. In fact, the biggest spike in online searches for appliances occurs on Sunday. So what do the retailers do? You got it. They're going to offer you something really, really special. So you want to check things out, and you might be able to find a real, real good deal. This is Donna Sebo. I'm going to be on my way to California. I'm really looking forward to being involved in the Conscious Life Expo. So we'll be broadcasting live from that beautiful environment. It's, I understand, a balmy 75 degrees. So for any of you who are down in L.A., I hope you're going to be coming to the event. And if you do, stop by my booth, 407, I look forward to seeing you there. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. And if love is in your life, be grateful for it, appreciate it, nurture it, and enjoy it. Remember, it's not one size fits all. It comes like a rainbow in many different expressions, many different levels, and in many different ways. Be open and receptive to it, and know that your life is as rich as you want it to be. This is Donna Sebo. I'll talk with you tomorrow from Los Angeles. Take care. Talk to you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.